This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. It's good to be here. If you have your message notes, go ahead and take those out. They're on either side of the sound booth as well, as we just talk about today. Really, I think something so key and so important we don't talk about enough, but it really affects our life with Christ, affects our life in general in every aspect, something maybe you haven't thought about enough, but we want to kind of impact your life today and allow God to speak to you. This year, we are talking about, and our theme is Developing 24, and the idea of that is we want to say to the world that our goal this year is to become more like Jesus. To have the character of Jesus, to do the things that Jesus did, to have the life of Jesus flowing in us and out of us. And so one of the things we want to do is look at how did Jesus relate to the Father? How did he fill his spiritual bucket, right? How did he fill his soul? How did he go about with life-giving practices? And one of the things you look at is the spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are those things that we do to connect with the Father and connect through the Spirit to fill our spiritual bucket. And so if you look at Jesus' life, what did he do? Well, he prayed, right? Jesus would pray, sometimes all night long, because he wanted that connection with the Father. And so we say, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, spend time in prayer. Jesus spent time in solitude, just getting away from everything, taking regular times to get away and say, I'm just going to be with my Father, shut down my thoughts, right, and just kind of get quiet in my spirit. Jesus fasted. He said no to his physical body so he could say yes to the Lord. Did you know that Jesus sang? If you look at the Last Supper, what we see in the Last Supper, it says, now before they went out, they sang a hymn. Wouldn't you like to hear Jesus' singing voice? Wouldn't that be cool, just to hear him singing? And what his voice sounded like. Of course, the music would be so different from ours. But did he sing out with gusto? You know, how did he sing? Did he sing looking up? Did he sing? I just wanted to hear his voice. That would be so cool to hear Jesus singing, wouldn't it? But he sang, he studied, he spent time in fellowship, connecting with other people and worshiping God together. We know he went to the synagogue on a regular basis to learn and to hear. And so Jesus spent a lot of time developing his spiritual life and connecting to the Father. And we're going to go, how did he do that? How did he do that? One of the things he did that's overlooked, and one of the things that maybe we don't do enough, is the idea of celebration. Jesus celebrated a lot. And actually, the very first message he got, when he kicked off his ministry, when he was saying, it's time now to move in a different direction, he called for a celebration. What happens, he went to his hometown synagogue, they handed him the book of Isaiah, and they said, read. And I'd love to have seen that, where he just kind of unrolled the scroll. And he got to verse 60, what we call verse 61. It wouldn't have been numbered that way. He got it and he stopped. And this is what he read in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. It's the quote. It says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach or to bring good news to the poor. And then he says this, he has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. And here's the important part. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So as Jesus is reading that, then he says, today it's being fulfilled in your presence. And what he's saying is, and this is a little known idea that you have to kind of study scripture, he's saying it's time for Jubilee, which means a year of celebration or a time of celebration. There is absolutely, in the scriptures, no evidence that the Jews ever celebrated Jubilee. Okay, we don't know if they ever did or not, because I'll tell you why. It's a seven set of 7 years. So 49 years pass. On year 50, this is what was supposed to happen. All debts were erased. Wouldn't you like that to happen? You know, everybody just said, okay, you owe me money, forget it. You know, and all land that has been sold out of our family, you can go back and take your land. You go back home, you rest and reset, go home. And not only that, take a year off from work. How many guys would refuse that? Except for retirees, you're already off. But those of you that are working, they said, okay, you're not going to have a lot, but you're going to have enough just to, you know, be okay, eat off the fat of the land, but take a year off from work. Wouldn't that be nice? What a celebration that would be. If you sold yourself into indentured servitude or your children, they came home and all that was forgiven. And when Jesus is sitting down, he goes, look, guys, this is going to happen. The blind are going to see. And we see that happen in Jesus' life and his ministry. But these things are going to happen, and they got to experience it. Now, it wasn't a full-on jubilee, because the people of the land didn't stop working. What Jesus said, spiritually, you're going to be set free. And the blind will see, but those that are spiritually blind will see. And the oppressed, those of us that are slaves of sin before we become followers of Jesus, you'll be set free. And he said, this is happening now. And we're going to celebrate. And the people were upset with Jesus because they go, we don't get it. But those who found Jesus found the freedom. He was talking about a year of celebration. We know that Jesus did other things. He went to festivals. He went to Passover. He went to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He traveled to Jerusalem with people. They would be talking about it. And you know what their conversations would have been about? What had been happening in your life, and what are we going to eat? How many of you guys ever have that conversation? How many have ever had that conversation today? What are we going to eat for lunch? Have you already like got it in your mind? You know where you're going? Well, this is what would happen at the festivals. They would go, okay, we're going to eat with this group of people. We're going to catch up. We're just going to enjoy each other's company. And we're going to Jerusalem because we want to party with everybody else. The scriptures tell us that Jesus had a bad reputation. Did you know that? He had a bad reputation with bad people, though. And this is what they would say about Jesus. They would say he's a drunkard and a glutton, all right? They would say, you feast too much, Jesus. We like John the Baptist a little bit better because he didn't eat a lot, but you seem to just enjoy being with people. Now, he didn't really get drunk. He didn't really feast too much. This was just the Pharisees kind of putting their understanding of Jesus. But we know he went to eat out with people, and he just hung out with them. And they're going, he's hanging out with the wrong people. And Jesus said, these are the people I came to be with. He had a good time. We know that the first miracle was where? At a what? A wedding. And what was the first miracle? It was turning water into wine. Why did he do that? Because the party would have stopped. And that would have been the end of the wedding, and they would have gone home. And Jesus says, I want this to continue. Now, I want to know this. I want to know a couple of things about Jesus and this party. One, I want to know, did he go with the other guys, with the groom, to the bride's house and start yelling for her to come out? Wouldn't that be fun to see Jesus calling for the bride, come on out, it's time, it's time. And they would have all chanted, so if he's there in the party, he would have been doing it too. And then they had this communal dance. Now, you think about dancing, okay? You know, the men would dance with the men. You kind of see this in the Jewish culture, but they put their arms around each other and they would have danced. Can you imagine Jesus dancing? Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, just with the men and the women with the women, but they would just partied. And can you see a smile on his face? So very few times do we ever think about Jesus smiling and enjoying life and celebrating. Most of our culture here in the West, we don't think of Jesus that way, right? He's very solemn, he's very serious, but Jesus celebrated. And he calls us to celebrate because celebration's a type of joy. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11, he said this to his followers, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. He said, I taught you all these things so that you would actually have joy. And yes, your joy will what? Overflow. Overflow. That's what celebration is about. It's not waiting for a party to happen. It's about experiencing the joy of the moment. And most of us probably don't think about that. Right? If I was to ask most people today what you've been up to or how was your week, what would most people say? I've been busy. Do you ever feel guilty when you don't say you've been busy? You know what I mean? You ever like feel like I should be doing more? Would you ever say to somebody, I've had a really good week and I did absolutely nothing? I mean, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I did nothing. I contributed nothing. I didn't work at all. I enjoyed it. I didn't do the laundry. Enjoyed that. We ate out every single meal. I mean, the other person's hating you at the moment, but wouldn't it be fun to say that? You know, we feel guilty. I think most people fall in two categories if we don't celebrate. There are people that figured out celebration. There's two categories. One's the workaholic. I fell in that for a long period of time where I worked every single day. And the reason I worked every single day was not that I had something to do every single day, but I felt like if I let go, it would fall apart. Anybody ever lived in that world? If you let go, it's going to fall apart. So kind of in my arrogance, I'm being upfront with you, I felt like I had to hold on. If I let go, God's going to say, it's all going to fall apart. And what I had to learn was, it's okay to let go because God's got it. So if you're in that kind of control world, anybody else a control freak like me, you feel like you got to be in control, it's really hard to celebrate because what do when you celebrate? You let go. Unless you're like Martha at the party with Jesus, Mary was at Jesus' feet, and Martha go, I got to go clean up, I got to get food ready, get somebody to help me, because she was so focused on getting things done, she had to control it. She was not celebrating. And Jesus said, Mary, she's got to figure it out. That's the most important thing. And we just come be together. So if you have to have control, it's hard to celebrate, right? Because celebrate means letting go. The other people that have a hard time with celebration are the negative Eeyore people. Don't point at anybody, but you know you are. You're the first ones to go, yeah, but. This is a great day, but there's a lot of pollen out there. It's going to be 67, yeah, but it's 36 right now today. It's just too cold. Or there's going to be a single cloud that goes over. Or you know what, if I go out, my allergies will kick in, so I don't really like these kinds of days. But not just once, but it's like everything. You know what I'm talking about? Did you have a good day at school, a good day at work? Yes, but people. And the one thing we focus on is the one thing that went wrong. You had like 99 good things, but the one thing went wrong, that's what you focus on. All right, any confession going on today? It's hard to celebrate when you live like that, right? And yet, Jesus says, my joy will be in you, and your joy will overflow. Dallas Willard, who was a theologian, wrote this. Celebration is the completion of what? Worship. It's the completion of worship, for it dwells on the greatness of God as shown in his goodness to us. It's okay to celebrate God's goodness. We engage in celebration when we enjoy ourselves, our life, our world, in conjunction with our faith. And that's the key. It's not just enjoying ourselves, but in conjunction with our faith and confidence in God's greatness, his beauty, and his goodness. It's going through life in a different state of mind. It's going looking at the good things and giving the credit to God. And in your face, seeing it's God that's doing this. And I go, thank you, God. Thank you for beauty. Thank you, God, for your goodness. I just saw it, and I'm going to take a moment to celebrate. I want to celebrate your goodness at any time, and that's finding joy. Paul wrote this in Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again because you didn't get it. Rejoice is what he's writing. I want you to enjoy life. Rejoice in the Lord always. John Ortberg, an author, he wrote in one of his books about the D-Day celebration. The D-Day celebration was this little girl when she was about 2, and at bath time, when bath was over, it was time for the D-Day celebration. So she would climb out of the bath completely naked, right? And she would run around the house singing, it's a D-Day, it's a D-Day. And he would chase her around. Did any of your kids do this? You don't want to tell us, right? But we don't want to know if you did it. But if their children did it, it's fun, right? It's a D-Day. It's a D-Day. And one day he told her, it's time to stop. And she goes, why? And the only answer he had was, I'm an adult, and I'm ready to stop. Because they didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to go anywhere. He was just tired. And he was like, it's time to stop. And she goes, why? And he couldn't think of a good reason. He said, well, I don't have one. So she ran faster through the house, calling out, D-Day, D-Day, until she was tired of celebrating. But he said, isn't it the way life should be? The D-Day celebration. I'm full of joy. I can't hold it in. We got to move and dance. C.S. Lewis wrote this, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. You know, Bridges, we looked at and we just kind of said as leadership, you know, we've been operating in the survival mode for too often. Survival mode is this, you move from one thing to the next and you go, you deal with this one, you deal with that one, you deal with this next one. And so you're just always surviving, right? And you kind of get in a mindset of that. If you've ever dealt with anything chronic, you know what I'm talking about. You go, okay, I dealt with this issue, now I'm done with that. Now the next issue. We said we need to move from survival to thriving. Surviving to thriving. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you just declare a day with no problems, right? Wouldn't that be great? For the next 6 months, I'm not going to have any problems at all. It's all going to be smooth. We can't declare that because we live in a broken world. What we can do is change our attitude, because joy comes from your attitude change. It's a state of mind. It's a state of soul. It's a state of, oh, God, you're God in this. You've got it. So I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to move from surviving to thriving. So what we said is we're going to form one celebration team, and thankful to the celebration team who the balloons and the decorations, the cookies. We said we're going to celebrate this year, and we're going to take more times just to stop and say thank you. We did that at Easter. That was a celebration too a week ago. Today we're doing it as well. We want you to just celebrate who God is and what he's doing. I looked at some of the things that God's done around here that we have a reason to celebrate. And we just pulled some stuff out. Here's one. We looked and we said there's about 90 volunteer slots that are filled every single week by people. Not by 90 people. but 90 volunteer slots. There's less people. Some of you guys are wearing multiple hats right now. We can't see them. They're invisible. But you're doing multiple things. And that's a reason to celebrate, because you're living out maximum generosity with your time and your efforts. And things get done behind the scenes. The grass gets cut. The facility gets cleaned. There's food out there every week for us to come in and enjoy. The band prepares for us. The tech team is working so that people online can be part of this as well. We have people volunteering all over the place all the time. That's a reason to celebrate, isn't it? People's hearts are being changed, and we're going, we want to give back to the Lord. We're just celebrating Him and all His goodness, and that's a reason to celebrate. We talk about BTG, which is our nonprofit. And we mentioned this a few weeks ago. Every week, 130 kids receive food on Friday for the weekend. 130 kids every week know they're going to have something to eat. That's a reason to celebrate. You want to know another one? We're no longer the biggest contributor to that as a church. There are other churches that are now distributing the money to us to go, we want to do this for children. All we do is take care of it. They're the ones giving the funds. And God has supplied that. God, that is so cool the way that you're working. We were doing some numbers, kind of looking at the Learning Center, which is going this year. Last year, we started with 3 kids and 2 volunteers. Today, there's 24 kids, 21 on site, 3 of them that are high schoolers that we're pouring into, and we have 10 volunteers. That's a reason to celebrate, isn't it? God is changing individual lives. He's going, I'm going to pour into you. I'm going to pour into you. 2 quick stories from there. One is we had a student come in, a middle schooler, no doubt. She comes in, she doesn't have a backpack anymore, we don't know why, but she has 2 papers in her hand. She puts them on the counter where everybody can see, not where they put their books, on the counter. And she goes, I got some certificates. We go, okay, what did you get? One was perfect attendance, I think for the first time in her life. The other was the honor roll. She made the honor roll. And so she wanted everybody to know, so she, when I get there, she pulls out of her pocket, you know, middle schoolers, here's my report card with A's on it. And she was so proud about that. And we want to celebrate that, right? We want to celebrate it. We're doing a Bible kind of video as well. Every day they're going to this program called The Loop. And it's teaching them Bible verses. It's teaching them about all kinds of things about God and living it out. And there's a prayer at the end of each one of these, okay? And so we're watching the thing, and the guy says, we're going to pray together. If you want to pray with me, you can. And we didn't know how this was going to work. And so he starts praying like a salvation prayer in every voice. Starts praying it. And it's like, really? This is so cool. Like, God is moving in their lives. They want Jesus in their life. And to hear these little voices saying this prayer, that's a reason for joy. And we need to celebrate that and say, God, thank you for what you're doing, not us, what He's doing. Because anytime you see God at work, you should celebrate. And that's just some of the things that God's doing around here through these different things. The other day, you can see we have a new sign, right? This is our mission statement, helping people find and follow Jesus. I think it's cool. I was here holding the ladder for the guy putting it up. I was not putting it up. I was holding the ladder. And he got up on the top of the ladder, and he's looking around, and he goes, this is a really cool church. I really like it. And I said, well, thank you. And for those of you, this is the only facility you've seen. You've only known us from here. You're going, this is really cool. But for me, here's where my mind went. 13 years of setup and tear down, right? Of dreaming, we're going to have a place one day. It's going to be really cool. I was watching a conference online, and one of the speakers is from Kansas City. And she got on, and she says, we've been mobile for 16 years, the same age as us. She said, if you've been mobile longer than us, here's my phone number, text me and tell me, because we're ready to be done with this. And she said, we have another site, and they have a permanent facility, but we don't. We're still set up and tear down. And you know what I did? I said, thank you, Jesus, right? We don't do that anymore. And these guys are looking at the beautiful building that we have. And I'm seeing it through different eyes. I remember when we moved in, and it needed some work. It needed some work. And now it's just filled, and it's so beautiful, right? And we need to celebrate that. I mean, it's just, here's a gift from God that God has done in our life. We have a facility. That's awesome. And then last year, 23, we looked at our finances. We had to come to you twice and say, guys, we haven't done this, but we are running out of money and we're going to hit a wall. And both times, God worked through you to supply. And so there's a couple of things that you may or may not know about. One is we had an emergency during the year. We had bats up there. Did we ever tell you that? I don't know if we ever told you that because we were scared if you found out you wouldn't come back. We found out there were bats up there. And it harkened us back to the days at North Versailles when we were in that lobby there and there was a bat hanging from the ceiling and we had to get a guy to trap it with a trash can. So there's something about bridges and bats. I don't know what it is, but I want you to know the bats are gone. And they can't get back in, all right, unless you bring one in here. And it's like we're celebrating that not only are they gone, we had money to pay for that. And then we already told you about the pipes out there were broken when the guys came and put the lines in, right? And they broke the sewer pipe and everything backed up over there, which is not a reason to celebrate. But then it got fixed, and then the company reimbursed us. And so right now we have money in the bank. Like, this is so cool. We need to celebrate that, right? We need to celebrate that. And we just say thank you, God, for the generosity of your people and the generosity of your own heart. And it's been so cool to watch. Last week, we asked you to bring in your money for maximum generosity and your commitment cards, and that was awesome. And I told a story at the very last of the vision nights that I haven't shared with the whole church, but I think one of them's really cool. We had the day that vision night started. I had a couple that came to me Sunday right before service, and they go, we need to talk to you, which is always scary when people go, we need to talk to you. What do you need to talk about? We'll talk to you after the service. So you know where my mind is half the time. I wonder what they're going to say. I wonder what's going on. I wonder what they're dealing with. So I said, okay, after the service, we'll talk. So they pulled me aside after the service. They go, we have some money to give, and we don't know how to do it. I go, well, that's easy. I can answer that question. Never had anybody ask me that before, but I can answer that question. But I said, look, you're going to come to Vision Night, and you're going to hear about maximum generosity. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you now what it is, and you decide where you want to put it. And they go, God's already told us that we're to give this money. What excited me was that God was already working. So before we even went too far with this, it was like took it completely off the table. God's already working, and that's a reason to celebrate. So last week when we asked you to bring in commitment cards and ask you to bring your first fruits, we weren't sure what was going to happen. And I will tell you that on Monday I got some numbers that I was supposed to announce today. And then on Friday, I think it was, I got a text that says, scrap that. We had more come in. And so you had to do different numbers. And I'm okay with that because it was increased. So we just want to share with you today what was brought in last week, and to say also we still have room for more, and I'll explain that. So here's the slide. We want to say how much God has done and what he's doing. We had 24 households. We say households, which is either an individual or a family. 24 have committed, taken steps of faith, and last week we had an offering of $25,000, which is about five times our normal offering, okay? And of that $25,000, add that into commitments, $95,000. Let's celebrate God for doing that. Isn't that huge? And we know other people are thinking about that and committing. You can still do that. That's awesome. Because there's only like, are you a round number person like I am? I mean, my first thing was, okay, 4,700 what? Some odd dollars to make 100,000. But it takes a whole year off our mortgage. Plus. And every month, it'll be more principal and less interest. And that builds up too. And it's just like, thank you, God. This is huge. This is huge. And we were able to call our lender and say, this money's coming in. This is what we're going to be doing. And they were, that's huge. And God is working. And I love it. But you know, there's so much more than just the money. I mean, that's the one thing. But when I look at what I'm grateful for, I don't know where you go with this. What are you most grateful for at church? Do you ever think about what you're most grateful for? Love our worship. We have great worship. I love the way you worship. We have great friendliness, right? It's always a welcoming place. You're very positive people. I love that. I hear some of my friends talking about some of the things they deal with. I go, we don't deal with that at Bridges. We don't. Our people are chasing after Jesus. We're focused on the right things. I have a good friend. He was a pastor at a church here in Hickory. I meet him every month. I got a sense from the Lord to give him a call. I called him, I go, hey, how's it going? He goes, who told you to call? And I go, well, nobody, I'm assuming God did. What's going on? And he said, well, we're going to close the church. And this is the first time we'd ever heard of it. I've known him for years. It was a church that was a really big church, And then they've been going through one thing after another after another. He's been there 5 years. They said, we're just worn out. We're just worn out. So the week before Easter, they did their last service. They put the chairs in a circle so they could talk to one another. And they had a baptism. And then they walked away. And I grieved for them. But I thought about that, how blessed we are and how wonderful God is that he's brought this community together. And he keeps getting us through issue after issue. And he has caused us to celebrate. So I don't know how you live. I know how I live. When I hear stories about that, it makes me appreciate that much more what I have and how good God is all the time. Even for them, they will find new homes. But I look at that, God, you've been so faithful. And we just sang that as well. Karl Barth, the theologian, said this, joy is the simplest form of gratitude. When you're able to look around and go, God, look what you've done. Look at what you've done in my life. Look what you've done around me. Look what you've done in this church. And just to feel the joy and allow yourself to sit in that joy and enjoy God in a form of gratitude. So here's my question. What are you grateful for today? And we're talking about celebrating the Lord, right? What he's done in the church. But what has he done in your life? What are you grateful for? Life? You know, he's given you life. He's given you salvation if you're following Jesus. He's given you hope. He's given you all kinds of things in your life. What are you grateful for today? You know, you'll be able to experience the day and do all kinds of things. Make sure you stop and celebrate. When God answers a prayer, celebrate at that moment and say, God just did that. Send out an email. Send out a text. Let me just tell you what God did. Talk to him about it. When you see a moment of beauty in the world, and there's so much beauty in the world, so stop and celebrate it. God, you did an amazing thing. Friday morning, I was up early, and I looked at the sunrise. I don't know if anybody else saw it Friday, but it was like this beautiful red sky. Thank you, God. What a beautiful thing. When you are able to pay a bill, to celebrate. When you're able to put gas in your car. I remember days where I used to have to go $5. And of course, that got you more gas than it does today. But anybody ever live like that where you had to go, I can't fill it up? And maybe you're there now, but if you can put gas in your car, just stop and say, celebrate God. When you eat good food, and you know I like good food, stop and celebrate it, right? God, this is amazing. Why'd you make this? This is so cool. When you go to a restaurant, God, this is amazing. When you hang out with friends, celebrate that you have friends. When you're with your family and you're not fighting, celebrate that, right? When you're just enjoying life, when you hear good news of any kind, celebrate it. When you ever have a God coincidence, you ever had a God coincidence before where you didn't know that God was arranging stuff and you go, oh, that's so cool. I just thought about that. I just heard about that. I'm so glad you called. But it's at the moment when you needed it and you go, thank you, God. Let's celebrate that. That's what we want the day of celebration to be. It's not just the stuff. It's the God behind the stuff, and to celebrate him and to live that way, to change our hearts, to change our attitudes, to live it out. So today for communion, we're going to do something different. I'm going to invite the band up. Instead of just saying a message or like having a verse or something like this is what we're going to do. They're going to lead us, and we're going to sing the communion meditation. So after that, okay, when that's done, they'll direct you, but you just know, go to the tables. So rather than me saying something, we're going to say something to God right now, okay? So are you good with change? I hope you're good with change. And we're still in good communion, but we're going to do it this way. So we're going to worship, we're going to thank God, and when that's over, the tables are open for you to receive the bread and the juice and to celebrate the life of Jesus. Let's prepare to worship him and celebrate him.
Let's worship together.
Could sing these songs.
as I often do, every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move, with my
there. You can go to the side tables and take your elements now.
Time to celebrate all that God's done. It's a good idea just to go back and reflect on the goodness of God and celebrate that. And one of the things that we know from Scripture that whenever someone gives their life to Christ, that all of heaven celebrates, right? All of heaven stops, the angels cheer, and they rejoice. And as we look back over our life as a church, we just kind of keep a record of those who have given their life to Christ, those who have been baptized. Over the last 16 years, we've seen 84 people that have given their life to Jesus. So I want to celebrate that. Can we give God a hand for that? To know that people's lives have been eternally changed is a reason to celebrate. Our latest one happened on New Year's Eve of this year. If you have been around a while, you know the Fallett family. It's just a great, great family. They came really early on. We watched them grow up. They moved to New York. They came back. Came to Bridges for all this. We watched the kids grow up. Then a few years ago, they moved to Eastern North Carolina. And our last baptism was Tyler. Tyler had wanted to be baptized here at Bridges because this is where he came to know Jesus. So we baptized him on New Year's Eve. And I just contacted the family and just said, how are you guys doing? What's going on? So we're doing really well. God's working. Some changes have happened, but they're going to church. It's really cool. They're going to a church called Restore in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And as I heard that, as I thought about the story of us as a church, one of the things that we need to know about Restore is we help support and get them launched through Waypoint, who we partner with to plant churches. So that church got started. And it was really cool. When they're getting ready to launch, I was part of a pastor's meeting. And they brought in the lead guy, Roger Burns, before they launched. And they brought him up to the front and said, we're going to pray over him. We're going to ask God to bless him and his work. And they said, would somebody pray for him? And I didn't know him, but I knew the area. So I kind of, that's unusual for me to go, I'll pray for him. So I put my hand on his shoulder. We prayed. And I had no idea that now God, full circle, had brought that back together. And now that church is booming. They're reaching Marines there and guys that are going to go around the world with the gospel, right? They don't stay there very long, but I thought about that family that God has moved around and we've had this chance to play in their life. So as you praise God, I mean, here's another life that has been changed by God's work here, and that's a reason to celebrate. So we want to celebrate one more thing before we head out. Just let God hear how thankful you are for what he's doing. So let's celebrate. Why don't you stand and we'll worship one more time.